Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me on the Word Podcast. Ooh, it's a dreary day outside here in Eastern North Carolina. It is. Boy, we were awakened this morning to a line of thunderstorms, which is great. You know, it's great. We needed rain. We need to get rid of this pollen, which is wonderful, sign of life, new springs. But boy, it drives you crazy, doesn't it? But it is. It's like a it's half nighttime out here in the midst of the rain. I love these kind of days, as I've mentioned before. I grew up on a farm, and when you had days like this, it wasn't that you didn't have to work on the farm. It was a different kind of work. You'd work inside the barn. You'd fix things that you've been meaning to get to for weeks and months. You know, all those tasks you always got to get to. It's just a change of pace. And so you always enjoy a day's change of pace. And especially today, because it's in the middle of the work week, everybody's gone. I'm the only one around. And literally the offices and even, what do they call this? My buddies that I work with here, what do they call my area right here? Something about the captain controls in here where I'm at and all this kind of stuff. It's sort of dark. And so anyway, I love these kind of days. Hey, we are in the 35th Psalm. And we've looked at the first eight verses. So I want us to start with verse 9 and press on. Though we're actually going to start with verse 9 and back up a little bit. So here's verse 9. It says this, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation." So again, this is the Psalm of David. But he just says something right here. He says, "Then my soul will rejoice." King James and New American Standard say, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord." But the idea being, after something happens. Well, what's going to happen? What was the previous verse? Remember where we left it off in the previous episode? Listen to verse 8. "Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it, and let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it, to his destruction." And we go, oh, yeah. Remember what David's been doing. He started off and says, "Lord, contend with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight me." And then he goes to the details saying, "God, will you take care of these folks that are harassing me, that are coming against me, that are trying to kill me? You know, let them be like chaff. Let the angel of the Lord," he mentions that twice, "let the angel of the Lord pursue them." He's asking for God to come and deal with those that are trying to throw him into the pit and trying to destroy him. And he says, "Lord, when you do this, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation." He doesn't mean that he doesn't exult and doesn't exalt the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord unless God does this. No, he says, "I do this. I praise him all the time. But God, when you do this, I'm really going to rejoice in you." Verse 10, "All my bones shall say," and here's what he's saying his bones are saying. This is in quotation marks. "O Lord, who is like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him." And he's saying, "God, if you'll do this, even my very bones, from the deepest part within me, the supportive apparatus of my physical existence, is going to praise you and rejoice in you." We've seen repeatedly through these Psalms, have we not, how David calls upon the Lord. It says, "God, please take care of this. Take care of this. Take care of my enemies." He continues on in verse 11. "Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know." The King James says that false witnesses rise up. But I like that malicious thing. Because, yeah, they're false witnesses. But the Hebrew word actually carries the idea of violence, of wrong, cruelty, injustice. That's what that word malicious is. In other words, there's a true evil intent of their false witnessing, of their false line. That's the reason Lexham translates it as violent witnesses rise up. And they ask me concerning what I do not know. So they're asking him, and what does a malicious witness do? What does a violent witness do? Well, they're standing there accusing David and asking him questions and grilling him and saying things to him about things that he doesn't know what they're talking about. He's saying, "I don't know what they're saying," but God does know. Verse 12, They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. I love the King James. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. The idea is that his soul is bereaved, the bereavement of his soul. He's saying, I did good for them, and now they're repaying me with evil, and it's grieving my soul. And then he says this in verse 13, but I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. So what is he saying? Read verse 14. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning. He's literally telling us what he did for these that are coming against him. Okay, for these false witnesses, for these that are trying to cause him harm. He said, when I heard that they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. He prayed for them with sackcloth and with fasting when he heard that they were sick. And this thing with, I prayed with head bowed on chest. King James says, my prayer returned into my own bosom. Oh, the Lexham says, and my prayer returned to me unanswered. Huh. New American Standard. And my prayer kept returning to my bosom. Yeah, we read just the ESV with head bowed on my chest. That just makes us think that he's in an attitude, in a position of prayer, you know, bowing the knee, head, that type of thing. But really the idea being, he says, I weakened my soul with fasting and my prayer returned to me unanswered. That God didn't answer the prayer when they were sick. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? What's going on with this thing? He said, but I grieve for them as a friend. I did all of this for them. I bowed down in mourning for them. Verse 15, but at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me, wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing, like profane mockers at a feast. They gnashed at me with their teeth. Notice what David said here. He said, at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. David had stumbled. David had done something. King James says, in my adversity, we've already seen, and we went through the life of David, the various things that occurred to him from the point of view of sin, the things that happened. And he said, when these things happened, they rejoiced and gathered together against me. Smiters or wretches, as I said here, and who didn't know him, they tore at him without ceasing. It never ended. And he said they were like profane mockers at a feast. Lexham says, among the ungodly of the mockers at feast, they gnashed at me. Okay. David is saying these things, these people, oh, the New American Standard, I want to mention it. They were like godless jesters. Godless jesters at a feast. And that word jesters literally means mockers. So these godless mockers at a feast, in other words, a drunken festival, this is how they were acting. And they're gnashing their teeth at him. They're just ripping David apart. And he's saying what? God, rescue me from these folks. Well, I tell you what, we'll finish up the rest of this psalm next time. Thank you. I'll see you soon. Goodbye.